I'm going to read a couple passages coming from Judges chapter 6. And you'll know this story, but I'm kind of reading you the sign portion of this story of Gideon. So first I'm going to read verses 17 to 24 and then 36 to 40. And this is God's word. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Listen to this little story by Leslie and Bernice Flynn. Who hasn't heard of holding out a fleece before God? A man who was wrestling with knowing God's will prayed as he was driving, "If it is your will for me to do this, then may the light at the next corner stay green until I get there." Another one wrestling with God's will said, "Lord, may my phone ring at 9:21 tonight if your answer to me is yes." And I'm pretty sure I've tried both of those probably in younger years. Here's another one by Vance Havner that captured maybe my, in terms of my attention, how we are probably with God sometimes in obedience. A father had a rather strong-willed son. On the way to the store, he kept telling the child, "Sit down and buckle the seatbelt." But the little kid just kept standing in the seat. Again, he said, "Sit down and buckle the seatbelt." After a time or two more, the boy was convinced he had better sit down or disaster would strike. So he slipped down onto the seat, snapped the seatbelt closed, and said, "Daddy, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." Well, you haven't been filling my mailbox with questions, but at least one finally last week. Maybe it was meant to be anonymous. I could just make out some small initials or something there, J and a G or something, but good question. Are Hutterite Christians? And is it okay if a Christian man wants to marry a woman from the colony? Good question, Justin. I'm just kidding. I just give him a rough time over that. So I'll kind of carry on from the last couple of weeks, as I mentioned there. And as we are speaking about the prosperity gospel, that really health and wealth gospel, as some call it, and then looking last week in terms of healings and miracles, to questions that have dealt with signs from God. And for instance, and you can answer these in your mind as well, maybe you've thought these, does God still use signs or give signs today? Is it wrong to ask God for a sign? And a few times questions along this line, why doesn't God give me a sign? Why doesn't God do something to prove himself real to me, to show that he exists and that he cares? And maybe you've asked something akin to that last question sometime in your life, and I remember very much so a time when a young man struggling in his faith and all these wrestling with, and that's what he just asked me that. I mean, why doesn't God, just come and give me some type of a sign, any, however big it would be, so that I could simply believe him. Just one little sign so I would know that he cared. And maybe again, you've thought that, and in times I look back, as I mentioned there, that we have probably put up fleeces in our life, and they're really called that because of this example in this Gideon passage that I read to you. There's the one that's kind of a classic, and maybe you've done this one if you look back, and it was one that was always called lucky dipping. Anybody remember what lucky dipping is? And simply, God, I really need to hear from you, and you just go, and you open, and you turn, and you read. And, wow, that didn't sound like a great verse there. And it's some kind of a random thing. You just take, point your page to that, or your finger to that little verse on the page, and that's meant to be God's answer. And again, if you ever thought or ever tried that, I know for sure as a young man I did. And in some ways it makes sense, right? God wants to speak through us in his word. So sometimes it's a bit hard for us to hear. This just gives him a little help, right? All he has to do is kind of get me to the right page, help my finger get on the right verse. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? Wouldn't that be simpler than trying to listen through all those other things? And I think, yeah, I probably tried this dozen or so times back in those young years, and not once did the answer ever seem significant. I would ask a good question about what God wanted me to do with my life, something like that, turn to a page, and it would, some verse that had nothing to do with the question at all. Or perhaps, again, just to make it easier for God to speak to me, and I've read of others trying similar things. See if you can think of this one if you've ever done it. God just put a page number in my mind. Okay, 621. Just give me a verse now. Okay, 12. Turn to that page and verse, and yep, you guessed it, not even relevant. Or maybe you had to really stretch it to make you think that maybe somehow God was speaking. But, I was giving him a chance just to speak something meaningful into my life. So think again in terms of that. Does God still give us signs like in the days of old? Does he still speak to us like that? And are we wrong if we ask for a sign? There's a classic one that I've likely shared over the years. Maybe you've heard elsewhere in terms where a guy loves donuts, but he's on a strict diet. So now he's driving to work, going by the donut store, and he prays, God, I'm struggling with this diet, and if you don't want me to have a donut, don't let there be a parking stall. And sure enough, God did want him to have a donut, because the sixth time going around the block, he found a parking stall. But let me begin this answer again in terms where I've had this question that, and I'm guessing you've likely thought in terms of that. As I always would pretty started, God can do what he wants in terms of signs. If people are asking that again, God can give you a sign if he wants. And obviously we can look through scripture and he's used them a lot throughout history in both the Old and the New Testaments. Sometimes with people asking for a sign and sometimes with simply God saying, this will be a sign for you. But usually, as we see in the Bible, it was in instances where God was looking to do something very significant in the lives of his people. And I'd say that not to diminish our sign seeking, as I think back how I was maybe asking questions as a kid. But sometimes, back and I think young, and I mentioned maybe a couple of weeks back or something about the daisy petals there, right? And how that might go. And you could almost do that like a sign, like, God, just let me know, does she love me? Here it is, daisy test. You speak through this daisy. She loves me not, loves me not. And then you're thinking, what? That can't be God. I know that's not your answer. That was probably the devil trying to speak to me. Now, God, it's your turn. She loves me, she loves me not. Should I buy these new shoes, God? Just let them be on sale. $1 off. Thank you, Jesus. I look and compare sometimes, and maybe you were different, But often it was those little things in life or that might come up and you're thinking, this is where I need you to speak to me. Or perhaps in the end you were just wanting a different answer than where you felt God was already leading to you to. But as I look through Scripture, these times when God was given a sign were usually very life-changing and history-changing, significant events in the lives of his people and what he was doing. Like the story of Gideon, and guessing you likely remember the story as it happened there. The people of Israel had been very disobedient and really not listening to all that God's been trying to speak to them. And because of this, they eventually reap what they've sown, and God lets them fall prey to the Midianites and other enemies. 7 years that they fall to those enemies there, begin to finally turn, call back for help. And God speaks to Gideon, this young man coming really from kind of more of a warrior family, the Bible says. And God speaks, as I read there, and tells him that he will deliver the people of Israel. Gideon's doubting all that, if you remember, and that he's just, you know, basically saying he's insignificant, his family's just insignificant. And angel of the Lord, and this is the way it phrases, probably almost another of those Jesus coming, being the figure who is bringing this. And in terms of the sign that he gives to him. So he gets first that sign with the meat there and all that goes, but he's still not satisfied, asks for more, and then we get the classic one we know in terms of the fleece. Fleece wet, ground dry, reverse that, how will it have then the ground wet and the fleece dry? And God does that. Gideon puts this army together and it gets reduced, as you remember, till finally there's just 300 soldiers, and God still doesn't really use them through all their weapons, but really even through the Midianites turning on themselves. But you have other signs you look through Scripture there. Early on sign that we come across there in Genesis chapter 9, right after the flood. God tells Noah that this is a sign for the covenant that he was making between he and Noah and for every living creature for all generations to come. And the sign was rainbow, right? Isaiah 7, another one maybe you remember, deals with the Christmas story as God speaks of this sign that a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. There's more in the New Testament surrounding the birth of Christ, like in Luke chapter 2. This will be a sign to you, and speaking to the shepherds, that you will find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Signs back again in the Old Testament, Moses, and he's a bit doubtful about going. God really takes his staff and he throws it down and it turns to a snake, picks his staff back up and it turns into, or snake up and it turns into a staff again. And God uses signs that Jesus is his son. A lot of the ministry and miracles going on, it talks about those as being signs. And Jesus says of himself that the only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. Which, if you remember, was like Jonah 3 days in the belly of the whale, Jesus 3 days in the heart of the earth, meaning in the grave there. But then Jesus says this in Matthew 16, that a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign. Because in the sense that they were full of doubt, no matter what Jesus did, they were continuing to be doubtful and wanted beyond all these things for him just to keep proving that he was the one that he said he could be. And then it says in Scripture that there was many more miracles and signs that his disciples saw in John 20 verses 30 and 31, mentioning all these things he did that we might believe that he's the Son of God. Furthermore, in terms of sign, in the Bible it says that there will be false Christs, false prophets who will perform signs and miracles. In Matthew 24:24, and a similar kind of little pattern to remember in Revelation 13:13, it speaks of the beast performing great and miraculous signs. And so those are all, as we talk about signs, and are they still meant to be for today, and is it wrong even for us to ask God? But I'd say as you look at all those things, God has a use, and he's done those in terms of history when he's had a purpose and a time for them. But usually that they dealt with the benefit of his people as a whole. I mean, occasionally, like in Gideon, maybe that reassurance of him as a man, but really for the picture of it being for the whole of his picture and what he was doing then. And so often if people are asking this question, I say we got to be a little bit careful in terms of that, Because we can see there can be false prophets, false Christs. Even the devil can bring about signs, right? I mean, miracles, we see that, the sense of false things that even can come through the hand of Satan there. So in some way, we got to be a little bit careful in terms of what we're asking, and probably particular if it gets to be those things like, you know, let the light turn green if I'm meant to do this, because really, and if you've ever done that, if you go through that light and it is green, then you got to think, well, was that really God still? Let the next light turn and you can keep going and going. Because that's not really a reliable method of God speaking that. And what we do find in Scripture is that Gideon already knew, because of what the Lord had done there in terms of that meat, that it was God speaking to him. And I'm sure that probably most, as I think for myself, maybe for you as well, but most of the requests often that we make for signs, it's probably about sometimes trivial things. And maybe sometimes the way we want that answer, it's phone ringing, stoplight, dog bark, let a red car pass me, whatever it might be. But I don't just see this ever as being the norm of Scripture. And for sure, it hasn't been the norm for myself and most believers that I know or have read about in terms of church history. Occasionally, God does something out of the norm. And of course, for me, it comes to be that case in terms of Sarah, as I mentioned over all the years here. And the story really in my mind, because of things that I had done and really a sense of maybe doubt or worry that God would punish me in regard to all that, that it really made this vow, and you could say probably in the sense of a rash vow, that I wouldn't marry until he would make it absolutely clear. And that he did speak to me in that one night on the discipleship training school with the words that she will be your wife. But whenever I talk about that, especially as after that and youth would ask me about that, I would say the same in terms of laws and signs, that this is not the norm. And usually I add something to the fact of that God was taking mercy on a foolish, naive, somewhat rash young man who made such a vow. And that he was gracious to me. And in a way that spoke again in terms of that. But I mean, maybe he saw that I was immature and in terms of all that. But that's not the norm. As to God bringing someone into our lives, and normally if youth were asking me about marriage, that's not the way he's normally probably going to bring someone into your life. If you've heard and at times you've had the relationship with God, you've seen some of these things, maybe in terms of that. But if you look to the normal way of God speaking to us through Scripture and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, that's probably the same assurance and guidance you can expect in all those things. Because there's really, for every time like mine worked out, there's 100 other times where the man says to the woman, God said you're going to be my wife. And then the girl says, really? He didn't say anything to me. So again, there's always caution, and that's what I always tried to tell youth after, because they thought, well, if he did it for Leon, surely God can give me that sign. And maybe some of them are still single now, I don't know. But the signs is not the clearest way of God communicating to us, nor the main way that he's given to communicate for sure. Can he? Yes. He's God. Does he? Yes, we see it in history, and he's gracious. But the clearest way that he speaks to us is always going to be through his word, and as we learn to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us through these words. Closer relationship as we learn to follow him and listen, because really what Scripture points us to in all that is John 10:27 in terms of this, and then really told that his sheep hear his voice, right? That they listen to him and follow him. And then John 8:47 is another, when he rebukes some of the Jewish crowd because they don't hear him. They belong to the devil. The Father lies. But then he says that those who belong to God hear what he says. And so that's the part that's always true in Scripture and clear. Not in the looking sign, but the more that we know him, the more that we can hear his voice, because his sheep hear his voice and listen to him. The more that I get used to listening to him, the more likely that that will be how he continues to speak into my life. And I'll say more about that in the week to come here. But when people are asking me again about signs, and that's what I like to point them out, that that's not the normal, will never be the usual way of God communicating to us. And I know we're desperate, and it's always sad in those situations when someone asks me, Can't he just do this one sign, something miraculous, that I could really know him for sure? But that's never where faith comes into it. Because faith is believing a sense of those things we don't see and somehow being certain of those things that are visible in terms of that, as Hebrews 11 reminds us of. So can God do it? For sure. But don't ever look for that as being the norm. It's like the verse that I put in your bulletin in terms and for this week that says it is God's will that you should be sanctified. I mean, that's often because people are asking often for signs in terms of God's will. Do you want me to do this? Well, I could say this is clear, and I can find more in Scripture that tells me the will of God. And more of his will is what he's looking to do in my life and in your life in terms of leading us to be those people who are holy and set apart, in a sense, distinct. And the more clear will, again, is always going to be that versus asking for some sign like a cow crossing the road while I'm driving on the way home and in terms of that. And there's another passage that I'd bring up in terms of this question sometimes as it would be asked. Mark 16. And if you have your Bible there, but depending on your Bible, you may or may not have verses 9 to 20 in Mark chapter 16. If you've never checked, it'd be time to know if you have them. Mine says, in this NIV version back from 1984, it says this: most reliable manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 to 20. Okay? And because there's some interesting verses in there, and so a lot of those reliable manuscripts don't contain them, such as verses 17 and 18, which say this: and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues, languages. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. I ever read that coming across? I don't know if your Bible has it, but think of that. Not only driving out demons, new languages, picking up snakes with their hands, they'll drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. And maybe you've seen over the course of the years on news and stuff that's come about from that. I've seen over a lot of these years that come up and make news things, especially you could find more on the internet there. Ministers and evangelists that have said that these are still the signs for the day, even to the point where they've had these group kind of charismatic and they come and they have this big thing of snakes in there and they go and they'll grab these poisonous snakes out. And guess what? Some have been bit and die. And some have done the thing where they'll be drinking this poison because sure enough, this is going to be the sign, and they drink it and they die. And it really doesn't make for a sense where people say, well, that's great. That's the Christian life that I want. I mean, that's the sense of assurance. I mean, God's never assuring us that we are a believer. That's not the proof as it speaks in this passage here that you are a believer. I mean, rather we see the proof is that you've confessed Jesus as Lord, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in one's life. And then that guaranteed deposit of the Holy Spirit, such we know, then we will feel sin, we will feel conviction, and we can hear God speak to us. And we know that assurance that we are his children. But not this list of miraculous signs in terms of that. Did it happen in Scripture? I mean, we have cases, right, in Acts with Paul there, where he is bitten by a viper there and shakes it off and he doesn't die. Will that be a sign such that you can go out and grab that rattlesnake by the middle of his body, give him a little room to bite there, be bitten, and that's going to prove whether or not, and if you die, that's a pretty old guarantee test, right? I mean, this almost sounds like back in the days of the Salem witch hunt. If they float, they're a witch. Kill them. If they sink, they weren't a witch, but they're already dead at the bottom. I mean, that's pretty well the same as you would look in terms of that being some proof, miraculous proof, that we belong to God. So God did some of this. And you find cases, but those are definitely not the norm. And I always think when people ask me about that, to try those tests, that's foolish, unbiblical in my mind, and even presumptuous in terms of that. In a way to think that somehow God has to prove himself, if I'll drink a poison or grab a snake, and that's going to be the final proof that I'm an actual believer? I mean, that seems against everything in Scripture in terms of what it means to be His child, to walk with Him, and to be in a trusting relationship with God. So as I would wind down this thing in terms of an answer in regard to that, can God use signs? For sure. And He can feel blessed in those gracious times if he's done and gives something there. Again, if He desires to, He's God. But is that the norm or something that we should ask for? No. And I don't see that in the Bible. And I don't really make that a practice that I'd ever from back in those younger days when you're trying to ask all those different questions and you think. And again, if you were to try to do that for a method, really, of God speaking to you through Scripture, it's way better to stick on just reading passages and having a regular quiet time and asking the Holy Spirit rather than doing the little lucky dipping kind of a method of Scripture there in regard to that. So I don't think we should ever especially demand it, especially as proof of being a believer, because I never see that in Scripture. And it's best, as I say, when people ask me, to stick what we know to be true and sure in the Word of God to speak into our lives in a growing and prayerful relationship. And that's how we will learn to have Him speak to us, and we'll know His voice. And should He decide to do anything else in terms of that, that's in God's grace and as He would decide to do so. But we can always trust and know that He wants to speak through His Word and through the Holy Spirit inside of us. One little more story about signs here to wind down, and this is by Michael Green. Maybe it'll speak to you if you're a farmer. A middle-aged farmer had been desiring for years to be an evangelist, was out working the field one day when he decided to rest under a tree. As he looked into the sky, he saw the clouds seem to form into the letters P and C. Immediately he hopped up, sold his farm, and went out to preach Christ, which he felt was God's leading. Unfortunately, he was a horrible preacher. After one of his sermons, a neighbor came forward and whispered in his ear, "Are you sure God wasn't just trying to tell you to plant corn?" Again, not a reliable method, but God wants to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You do want to speak to us and that You've given us Your Word as something we can know and trust, something that we can look to always for that guidance in our life and speaks to us and more in regard to Your will and who You are shaping us to be, knowing again that it's even more who we are becoming in You that is important as compared to all of those things that we would ever do. We do thank You again that we can look through Scripture and we can find that, but we're glad also for those times in Scripture when You moved and You did things as You saw fit to speak to men and women and to give those signs, and as You look to do that for the sake of Your people. And we especially see all that came there to make it sure in terms of the birth of Christ, but then even through the ministry of Christ. But Father, please always just give us that assurance and know that it's beyond any of those things that we can simply trust that if we've committed our lives to You, we've come and we've asked You into our lives, that we have that assurance that we are Yours. We don't need any other miraculous signs to prove that or anything beyond that, but simply to trust that because Your Word says so and we've done it, we know that You're children, Your sons and Your daughters. And I pray that in the midst of all those other decisions in life that You continue just to lead us and to guide us as we look in prayer, that we can feel Your Holy Spirit just break through, as I always pray in the beginning, through all those noises and distractions and really just speak into our lives and give us that guidance that we are sometimes craving even as we look and ask for those signs. So continue just to lead us, we pray, just for a continue this great day here as a blessed day that You have given for us. And all this in Christ's name. Amen. You can stand as we just close with a simple prayer.